Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Pirates Lafitte, The Treacherous World of the Corsairs of the Gulf by William C. Davis, explores the shadowy maritime borderlands of the early 19th century Gulf Coast through the rise and legend of Jean and Pierre Lafitte. Set amid war, booming smuggling networks, and fragile new governments, the book follows how privateering blurred into piracy and how the Lafittes learned to thrive in that ambiguity. Davis, a noted historian, situates the brothers within a larger ecosystem of merchants, corrupt officials, enslaved people, sailors, and opportunists who turned the Gulf into a marketplace where legality was negotiable. Rather than treating the Lafittes as romantic outlaws alone, the narrative emphasizes the hard economics of contraband, the violence that underwrote trade, and the political bargains that allowed corsairs to survive. Readers interested in American expansion, New Orleans history, or the realities behind pirate mythology will find a grounded account of how the Gulf's illicit economy shaped lives and policy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, corsairs, privateers, and pirates in a gray zone. A central theme is the unstable boundary between lawful privateering and outright piracy. In the era of imperial rivalry and the War of 1812, maritime raiding could be framed as patriotic commerce or criminal predation depending on who issued papers, who recognized them, and who benefited. The book examines how commissions and letters of marque were used, ignored, forged, or retroactively justified, making legality less a fixed category than a tool of power. Davis highlights that the Gulf of Mexico was uniquely suited to this ambiguity. Vast coastlines, scattered authorities, and constant movement of ships created conditions where enforcement was inconsistent and easily compromised. The Lafittes exploited these realities by presenting themselves as protectors of trade when convenient and as smugglers when profit demanded it. The topic also underscores how governments sometimes tolerated corsairs because they delivered goods, intelligence, and leverage against rivals. Understanding this gray zone is essential to seeing why the Lafittes could be pursued as criminals one moment and courted as useful allies the next. The result is a portrait of maritime life where moral labels mattered less than networks, paperwork, and political timing. Secondly, Barataria and the business model of smuggling. The book treats Barataria not as a romantic hideout, but as a practical commercial hub built for contraband. Davis explains how geography, shallow waterways, and proximity to New Orleans created a pipeline for moving goods that were taxed, banned, or politically sensitive. Smuggling appears as an organized enterprise with logistics, suppliers, storage, distribution, and a labor force that included sailors, craftsmen, and intermediaries in town. The Lafittes functioned as managers of risk, balancing speed and secrecy against the need to convert cargo into cash quickly. This topic also explores what kinds of commodities made the trade lucrative, including captured goods from prizes and shipments that avoided customs duties, and how demand in the city kept the system alive. Davis emphasizes that illicit commerce depended on relationships with respectable society, merchants who wanted cheaper goods, officials willing to look away, and buyers who preferred plausible deniability. Barataria becomes a case study in how frontier economies often rely on informal markets to meet shortages and generate wealth, even while public rhetoric condemns them. The enterprise thrived until political pressure and military needs shifted the cost of tolerance. Thirdly, War of 1812 bargains and the Battle of New Orleans. A major pivot point is how the War of 1812 changed the value of the Lafittes to American authorities. The book discusses the strategic vulnerability of the Gulf Coast and the intense pressure to defend New Orleans, a city vital to trade and national expansion. In this environment, experienced seamen, knowledge of local waters, and access to supplies became military assets. Davis explores how negotiations and competing interests shaped whether the Lafittes would be punished, recruited, or temporarily forgiven. The narrative treats wartime collaboration not as a clean redemption story, but as a calculated exchange in which each side pursued advantage. The Lafittes could offer manpower, intelligence, and maritime skill. Officials could offer leniency and legitimacy, at least in practice, if not always in writing. This topic highlights the broader pattern of states partnering with irregular actors when institutions are stretched thin. It also shows how later memory can simplify complex wartime choices into heroic mythology. By placing the Lafittes within the politics of defense, Davis illustrates how national emergencies can rearrange moral boundaries and how quickly those boundaries can snap back once the crisis passes. Fourthly, violence, captivity, and the human cost of Gulf piracy. Davis does not let the romance of piracy erase its human consequences. This topic focuses on the coercion that sustained corsair activity, armed seizures, intimidation of crews, and the constant threat of imprisonment or death at sea. It also considers how the Gulf economy was intertwined with slavery and forced labor, and how trafficking in human beings and goods could overlap in the same shadow networks. The book's perspective emphasizes that pirates and smugglers operated in a world where people were treated as cargo, legal systems were uneven, and vulnerable communities bore disproportionate risk. Even when the Lafittis are portrayed as strategic operators, the surrounding environment is one of instability and fear, affecting sailors, coastal residents, and those caught between competing authorities. The topic also explores the way violence served as a form of reputation management, deterring resistance and signaling capability to rivals and clients. By foregrounding the costs of predatory commerce, Davis complicates the popular image of pirates as merely colorful rebels. The Gulf appears as a contested space where survival often depended on accepting brutal realities, and where prosperity for a few was built on peril for many. Lastly, myth-making, memory, and the Lafitte legend, the Lafittes have long occupied a space between history and folklore, and the book examines how that legend formed. This topic looks at why their story proved so adaptable. They operated at a dramatic crossroads of war, frontier expansion, and booming New Orleans commerce, giving later generations abundant material for heroic or villainous retellings. Davis addresses how public fascination can elevate certain episodes, especially wartime service, while minimizing long stretches of criminal enterprise. The creation of myth also reflects cultural needs, such as a desire for colorful origin stories on the Gulf Coast, or a way to personify the lawlessness of a rapidly changing region. The book's approach encourages readers to separate verifiable patterns from later embellishments, using context to judge what is plausible and why some claims persist. This topic also considers the role of local pride, tourism, and popular media in keeping the legend alive. By exploring mythmaking, Davis provides tools for reading pirate stories critically, understanding not only what may have happened, but also why people continue to tell the story in particular ways. The Lafitte legend becomes a window into how societies rewrite uncomfortable histories into entertaining narratives. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy narrative history grounded in real economic and political forces, including fans of Gulf Coast history, early American expansion, maritime conflict, and the War of 1812. It will also appeal to anyone curious about the truth behind pirate legends, especially those centered on New Orleans and the waterways that fed its rise. The main benefit is perspective. Davis frames piracy and privateering as part of a wider system of trade, corruption, and state power, helping readers see how laws are enforced unevenly when money and survival are at stake. That lens makes the story relevant beyond its era, offering insight into how informal economies develop and why governments sometimes bargain with dangerous actors. Compared with more sensational pirate books, this one is worth buying because it emphasizes context over costume. Instead of relying on romantic clichés, it treats the Lafittis as products of their time and place, and it connects their actions to the larger currents shaping the Gulf world. Readers come away with a clearer, more realistic understanding of how legend and history collide, and why the collision matters. If you would like to support William C. Davis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around!